Federal funding is gone, and that changes everything. Every day this gap lingers, the shows and reporting you rely on are at risk. We've still got $200,000 left to close our funding gap. We're making progress, but we're not there yet. The programs and conversations you count on every day depend on your support. When you give now, you help close the gap and keep trusted, independent news here for Chicago. Make an affordable monthly gift online at wbez.org/donate.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Chicago, it's Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop, your place for Chicago community, news, and conversation. Later in today's episode, we'll have a breakdown of the latest big stories in the Chicago area, from how the government shutdown is affecting Illinois to the latest on a possible deployment of the National Guard. But first, immigration enforcement. Over the past 24 hours, ICE and Border Patrol have ramped up arrests in Little Village and Cicero. We checked in with community leaders grappling with those raids, and we'll bring you those voices. Now, In the Loop, executive producer Dan Tucker is here with me in studio. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Sasha.
Tough one today, right? We had plans, other plans for the show, and news started to break after we got off the air yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I think we were originally planning on covering some of the court cases that are going on related to ICE. But then we started to get reports from our Sun-Times colleagues that a lot of chaos was happening on the streets of Little Village and Cicero, so sort of southwest side of the city and then into the suburbs a bit where Border Patrol and ICE agents were arresting people. There was one car accident that took place. And someone fleeing from a vehicle, I believe, at that point. And a lot of residents coming to the site, you know, with whistles, yelling at agents, get out of our neighborhood, as we've seen many, many places. As the day developed, seven people were arrested, at least seven people. A couple of them were U.S. citizens that actually work for the local alderman, Michael Rodriguez of the 22nd Ward. So he was concerned about that. It turns out, you'll hear more about this in the conversation, they were held for 7 hours.
Wild.
Which is just wild. And this also comes out of conversations we were already having on the show. That yesterday on the show, we were talking about folks helping people out in their communities, buying out street vendors so street vendors don't necessarily need to stay on the corner. People helping buy groceries for people so they can stay in their homes because they're not feeling safe. And also on our other show, Say More, we had talked about how do you support Hispanic businesses? So when all this started to unfold in Little Village and Cicero, we thought we definitely need to be on top of this.
Yeah, it's a sign that things are ongoing. And you know what else is continuing, Dan? The arrests, right? Because in Little Village this morning, at least four more arrested at 27th and Whipple to say that they are U.S. citizens. So again, a pattern that we've been seeing. Our colleagues at the Sun-Times are reporting that at least 20 federal agents were on site there. And you know what else sticks out to me, Dan, which folks will hear in our conversation later in the podcast, but Gregory Bovino was there this time around.
And this morning,
This time around. And every time he's around, so are the cameras. And it just feels more and more like a television show is in progress.
Yeah, a lot of the guests were speculating that whenever he's there, you're going to see another thing like we saw this big flashy video of the South Shore raid in Chicago a few weeks ago. It did seem like there was some drones yesterday. There were a lot of video cameras. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, speaking about Thursday morning, like you said, additional arrests in Little Village, some of them taking place at a Little Village discount mall. Again, Gregory Bovino is there. You're going to hear more from our Sun-Times colleague Cindy Hernandez later in this podcast episode describing all of this from yesterday. And it continues today.
Yeah. In the Loop, executive producer Dan Tucker, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks.
Okay, let's get into our conversation with community leaders. Joining me at the table was Eddie Guillen, a community organizer and executive director of Community Innovation Center. Jerry Reyes, who's a Little Village resident, Marcela Rodriguez, who's executive director of Little Village-based Enlace Chicago and co-chair of the Illinois Latino Agenda. Also, Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez of the 25th Ward, which includes Pilsen and part of Little Village. We started with Jerry, and he told us how he first caught wind of ICE and Border Patrol operating Wednesday in his neighborhood.
Well, I went and got breakfast in the neighborhood. I don't live too far from Kedzie and 26th. I was in the restaurant, and all of a sudden I hear the workers say something about immigration. That was her word. And then she says, right here, asking another one of her coworkers, I assumed. And then I was like, what are the odds that it's like, right here, like right now. Mm. So I was like, well, maybe they were talking about some other incidents, or, you know, people were like, I think that's ICE. But it wasn't. I finished my breakfast. I got in my car and I was literally headed to work north on Kedzie. And then like a block away, I see there's all this like chaos and mayhem unfolding. And
what does that look like? Chaos and mayhem.
So there was a CTA bus and it was a CTA bus, and there were numerous trucks and vehicles just kind of like in gridlock right there on 26th and Kedzie in front of Rossi Furniture. And I see like a vehicle. It looked like a vehicle jumped the curb and kind of crashed. I didn't know what to make of it. Mm. And then I see the federal agent in full, you know, like camo gear and his shades on, and he's pointing this camera at like any car or any person who's saying something or honking.
So the agent is filming people.
Is filming people, pointing the gun directly in their face is kind of as an intimidation. That's how I took it. Like, oh, you got something to say. So, you know, you're on camera now. Like, you're going in the database.
So you're seeing this from afar, right?
So yeah, it started from afar, but I had to go forward. So
how do you feel in the moment, Jerry, where you're seeing an agent film and point a gun at people?
Oh, no, sorry. It was a camera.
A camera.
Yeah, it was a camera. So like, you know, trying to get their, that's what I'm assuming.
Trying to capture what their response.
Capture people's faces. Mm. Because we've heard about that they're going to start, or they're already using AI and, you know, facial recognition, and they're trying to put people into this like massive database.
I see. Alderman, your reaction to what went on yesterday. This operation was led by Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino himself. He was out there in full force with his team making arrests along 26th Street, as Jerry just laid out. We know the area is predominantly Mexican. Your response?
Well, what we saw is the terror that the federal government has unleashed in our city in the worst possible phase, when we see, as you heard the description, car vehicles being damaged, a convoy of about 15 cars that just came to create chaos all over the community, not only in Little Village, but also in Cicero. We see the arrest of two staffers of a colleague, including one of them, which is an elected official. And when we confronted Bovino, he had nothing to say. We actually asked him directly in front of him why he continues to defy George orders. He continues to defy. Everything he did that day was prohibited by a federal judge.
Tell me specifically what he was doing wrong.
Well, trespassing on property. And we have documented, in fact, after this, we have a call with the attorneys. We want to sue, and we'll continue to sue. And we told Bovino that we will come after him personally for this. He will be held accountable. The trespassing on property, one of the workers, not criminals, this is a worker who's trying to get to work, is already an act of courage to get to work because of this terror. They trespass, they arrest them without warrants. The judicial orders that were mandated by the judge continue to be defied. They don't identify themselves. I have the video when we ask them, identify yourselves. They don't identify themselves. They continue to wear masks, defying the judge orders. They have told them to not use excessive force in residential areas. That's exactly what they did. Damaging cars, leaving vehicles in the middle of the road, leaving a family in the middle of the road that was trying to get one of the family members to the hospital. Those are the people that they were attacking. So we will continue to demand that they release all the people that they take. I know that they release the two city employees, mm-hmm. but they have to release everybody that they have detained illegally. This occupation, this siege on our city is illegal. Mm-hmm. And we told Vivino that I hope that the judge, when he comes back to court, because they have to face the courts, they explain why they continue to defy the judge orders, even when they're told they, in our faces, they've been breaking the law
right.
and they continue to do so. And we will hold them accountable.
Marcela, what's your experience with what happened yesterday?
Sure. I mean, I think I grew up in Little Village too, and I've worked in Little Village for many years, and it just seems unrecognizable. Our community is not what we're used to. It's a daily thing that there are agents terrorizing people. I don't even think that there is a plan of what they're doing. They just seem to be riding around mm-hmm. like maniacs, putting people in danger. Yesterday, they were also driving in speeds that are not safe on one-way streets opposite direction. Mm-hmm. It's just like little kids that go wild, mm-hmm. That are uncontrollable.
No order.
No order, no logic. And it creates chaos. Our community is unrecognizable, and it's really sad. I've seen lots of videos of the agents in our community in different communities, Brighton Park, Pilsen, Cicero, Waukegan. But yesterday we saw it in person, and it was just gut-wrenching.
What's your message to those agents and to President Trump?
Yeah, like what is beyond scaring us? What are they trying to accomplish? Like, I don't know if they know about us, but we don't give in easily. We overcome. Mm-hmm. And so they're just, I think, trying to tire us out. They're trying to tire the courts out.
Yeah.
They're unlawful. They do, everything they do is unlawful. And, you know, whatever they're trying to do, I think they're going to get tired first. And we're not going to give up. We will continue to show up as exhausted as we are. We will continue to find ways is what we know how to do.
Yeah.
That's what we know what to do.
So, Eddie, I want to bring you in here. You received word of what was going on in Cicero.
Correct.
Right. Yes. The next part of this, you rushed to the scene, as far as I understand. Tell me your vantage point. What'd you see?
Sure. So, it's something that we've been doing for last month. And, I mean, getting tagged and like, hey, this is what's happening. So, again, I'm in Midway, so I mean a little drive out. But just going over there. First, what happened at Home Depot? They took somebody, and then actually facing them right there in the Sam's Club. They're going around in circles, like you just mentioned. So like, they're like little kids, like and I feel like this is something you see when, especially when Volvino's here, they have a camera crew. They're spreading this propaganda. You see the videos like. The cinematographer is like, what are you guys doing, like a reality TV show?
So it's
like,
even more heightened like, when the Border Patrol chief is
yes,
is
oh,
with
absolutely.
Them.
They got the drones and they make just music videos. Like, what's the point of terrorizing our community? Like, these are real families, and just to see them like in going through that, the fear in their eyes, it's unacceptable. And then what happened on 26th and Ogden, it could have been prevented. Let Cicero PD do their job, investigation, get out of there.
Yeah.
But they want us to take the bait. They want us to be violent. They want us to do something and to provoke them, and it's not going to happen. Unfortunately, I did get pepper sprayed, because, again—
You got pepper sprayed yesterday?
Yes, correct. I was trying to turn away from it. And again, this is because, the emotions are high, and just because a lady was tapping on the window. Come on. Like, we all know they have rifles. We don't have masks. Like, what are we going to do? And just because a tap in the window justifies them coming out and sticking out their hand and getting pepper sprayed.
So they sprayed you and the lady?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of people. So
are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm good. Thank you. I mean, put some saline. And it's not my first time, just happened in Brighton Park and tear gas. But it's, while they're leaving, like, just leave already. Like, what's the point of that? What's the message of that? They want to incite violence, and they want to create chaos, and it's unacceptable.
Alderman, what's the feeling right now among residents, citizens, and people here without legal status?
People are fed up. People are overwhelmed. People are tired. People are afraid. And we continue to see these. We just got a message that they are back today. So they continue to. This is a performance for them. It's a performance of terror.
Marcella just said something that's still staying with me when she said, you know, they're trying to do this to tire us out, but they're going to get exhausted first.
Oh, yeah.
Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think our community has been resilient. Our community is resilient. Our community is courageous. Our hardworking people. And we will not let these mercenaries come and terrorize. And like I said, when they go around schools, when they drive like maniacs, like Marcella was mentioning, around schools, I mean, the message that they send is a message of to our families, to our school, to our children, right? Don't come to school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already an act of courage to even get to school for many of these kids. And when they go to hospitals to terrorize people, they have been outside churches. That's how despicable this is. Mm. So when we talk about the resilience of our community, look, small businesses were not opening the doors. They were the actions of solidarity, I think, important to highlight. People were closing the doors, refusing to comply with a regime that it is about ethnic cleansing. So we know what this Project 2025 is and what we're asking laborers. I mean, I really think what the energy that we need in our country. Yesterday, we're talking with people in LA, DC, Portland. I think the message that the mayor said, well, we need a general strike.
Yeah.
This needs to stop. If we don't withhold our labor, I mean, this is destroying our businesses or communities. They're destroying it for a show. This is a cruelty show, right? And I think it can happen to anybody. They want to crush dissent. People don't support this Nazi regime. So this is the moment, I think, where our city is leading the charge, because we know what our 26th Street is the main revenue generator for their city.
Right.
What are they doing to our city? What are they doing to our neighbors? So the need to be resilient is also a need for our city to come and support the people who have been suffering. Yeah. And in that sense, Chicagoans are full of solidarity.
So I come back to you, Jerry, as a lifelong resident of Little Village. What's the conversation like right now at home with your family, with your friends?
Well, yeah, everyone, it's fear. People don't want to come out. I talk to my undocumented friends, undocumented colleagues. They literally have to plan. Their life has been, like, changed. They have to plan, to go to and from work.
Yeah.
Get rides to events or just, like, stay home, like, the entire weekend.
So what do you think we need most right now to support the community? I mean, would you welcome more signage, or do people need something else?
I think people just need to spread messages of solidarity, how they can help. Come support, pass up on the corporate chains, come support the local businesses that have been suffering. Everything that you can find at the bigger stores, you can more than likely find in the community. Seek out those smaller shops and support them. Chicago is the biggest small town,
mm-hmm.
Then even then in the smaller communities like La Villita, that even gets even smaller, like the sense of solidarity, the care for each other. So just spreading messages of love, I think we have that. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, on 26th Street, I heard of people just pulling over and saying, telling the people that waiting at the bus stop, say, hey, just get inside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The migras, like, down the street. So wherever you're going, we can take you or we can move you to safety.
Wow.
So I think that just, spreading messages of love, solidarity, taking care of one another, and just coming together would be, the ultimate blow to this fascist regime that's trying to suppress us.
Marcella, what's Enlace Chicago doing to ensure that people in Little Village are as safe as possible during these ICE arrests and raids?
Yeah. So we continue to do the best we can and promote what we know works. Taking care of each other, looking out for each other, people understanding their rights, both as non-citizens and as citizens with status. I don't think anybody's exempt from their attacks. And really thinking about ways for us to escalate our efforts. I mean, I was so surprised and yet happy to see somebody from the Arabic community yesterday at a press conference that we held. So as they escalate their efforts, we will continue to escalate our efforts. We will continue to find ways to support our community, to support each other, to celebrate who we are, yeah. and for us to not get lost in the ugliness and the dishonor that they bring to this country, because they bring dishonor. Mm-hmm. We have honor and we have courage. They lack courage. They lack honor. We need to continue to uplift that within ourselves, within our communities. We need to escalate our efforts across other immigrant communities. Although the data shows that Latinos are being targeted the most, mm-hmm. we need to create allies. We need to continue to find ways to support the people that are attacked, provide. This is an economic crisis too.
Yeah.
I mean, people, the businesses that operate, that's their livelihood. That is the way that they support their families, pay their bills.
And if you're scared to come out and run your business, mm-hmm. you're street vendor, for instance, how yes, are you making money?
That's right?
right.
And so we need to continue to provide emergency economic support. We're trying to raise dollars to do that and to support people that just want to go back to their country for a little bit and rest their minds and have some peace. People to self-deport, we were just talking about that. It costs money. Mm. Anybody that wants to do it, it's like they're cutting our legs and they're cutting our head off. Mm. But we will persevere. That is for certain.
Eddie, you run a nonprofit called Community Innovation Center, doing what you can to support, right? You're doing grocery runs for people that don't want to leave home. You're stepping up in other ways. You're doing what you described earlier. You said you've been doing this for the past month, this rapid response.
Sure, yes.
What's the overall mission and how has it changed now that ICE and Border Patrol are all over the city?
So, just after doing the grocery runs, we partnered with a grocery store in the Ashburn community. Now we have other grocery stores want to get in because we have a large volunteer network, people coming together. And so now we have people delivering to their doorsteps, absolutely free. We're getting businesses to donate groceries, essential items, and we're connecting our neighbors with those deliveries. And then we also have free notary services. We have over 17 notaries that are volunteering their time to set appointments, helping families with the forms that they need, the power of attorneys, the short-term guardianship. It's all absolutely free. You know, people are signing up. It's overwhelming. We have over like 500 families that signed up. Mm. But the volunteers are stepping up. And that's what's giving me hope is that our communities around Midway and beyond want to get involved. I mean, we have, communities in Romanville and Bolingbrook want to get involved. Like they see what we're doing. And so we're training different communities, giving them the blueprint that what's working. So we want to multiply that.
Leave us with this, Alderman. After yesterday's events, what we saw over the weekend, some Little Village residents, they want more action from Mayor Johnson to set up and to enforce these ICE-free zones. More signage in particular is what people are asking for. Is there a holdup on establishing these ICE-free zones on city property?
Well, in fact, we were in a press conference on 31st in Sacramento when this all unleashed, talking about, for instance, a water management facility where ICE agents have seen using the parking lot. So we're dealing with a federal government that just doesn't care. They're just unhinged, unregulated. They think they can do things with impunity. So we certainly have to step up our efforts. So we've been talking with Mayor Johnson not only about enforcing and within our public infrastructure, but also how we encourage others to hope that they also don't collaborate. I think in our communities, we see more of that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, corporations like Home Depot, Walmart, Sam's, when they're allowed to do that. So it's important that we also boycott those entities that are not helping, that they're complicit. And then we support the small businesses. We also talked to Mayor Johnson actually this morning. He called, said, we would like to talk to all. Look, we've been here before. When this horrific regime used the virus to weaponize it against the Chinese community. They call it the China virus. Almost decimated many Chinatowns in the country. Our Chinatown not only survived, but also outgrew the pace because of the solidarity of Chicagoans.
So what did Mayor Johnson say when he called this morning?
So concern about the level of, when you see a convoy destroying an entire neighborhood, right? The terror that unleashes, it is a call for action. So the mayor recommitted to meet with the chambers, including across the city, to support our immigrant neighbors or immigrant communities, and also how we can continue on the delegation that we're going to go to Springfield, because we need funds. We need to maintain, for instance, our legal defense funds. We need to continue. We cannot cut. Yeah. So our budget needs to reflect those values. So we're going to be going to Springfield to ask with our governor and the state elected officials. We got to work together. We must tax the rich that just got tax subsidies from Trump so that we can fund the necessities in our communities.
So it sounds like the communication continues, but also action. Most importantly.
Absolutely.
We'll leave it there. Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez of the 25th Ward, Marcela Rodriguez of Little Village based in Lasse, Chicago, Jerry Reyes, who's a lifelong Little Village resident, and Eddie Guillen, who is with the Community Innovation Center. Thank you all so much. Okay, now it's time to catch you up on the big stories of the day. We checked in with WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane, Sun-Times national political reporter Tina Spondelis, and Sun-Times reporter Cindy Hernandez. Cindy, let's start with that immigration enforcement that I just mentioned in Cicero and Little Village. It happened yesterday. It was led, he was out there, Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino. Just give us the 30,000-foot view, then we're going to dig into to some of the details. But big picture, what happened?
Right. It looks like they hit multiple businesses, and they were seen at multiple locations in Little Village and Cicero yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Bovino was seen at least two of those raids that took place.
So how many people were arrested? Do we know that yet?
We don't have an accurate number, but from what we've heard from Alderman Michael Rodriguez, it looks like it was maybe at least seven people. Yes, and some of those U.S. citizens as well.
Yeah. What were the tactics that they were using? Because I'm hearing it was pretty chaotic.
Yes. It was something that they've done in the past. You know, they just kind of arrive and grab people. And there were also some car chasing that mm-hmm. we know of. But, you know, ultimately, we don't really know. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of car chasing, as I said, there's reports of car crashes.
Yes.
And one happened yesterday. We've seen that common refrain in some of these actions from ICE and Border Patrol. What's going on?
Not sure. You know, they have not released a lot of details. CBP has it. But from what we heard from Cicero Police yesterday, they said that, you know, they were alerted by federal immigration agents that they were being chased. Mm-hmm. Agents were being chased by a vehicle. And that vehicle, when they tried to pull them over, I guess, you know, ran a red light, caused a crash. But the driver was detained after that.
Mm-hmm. You briefly mentioned U.S. citizens were arrested too, Cindy. So, I mean, what do we know? This was an alderman's staffers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Two of them were detained yesterday. And Alderman Rodriguez, you know, set up a press conference, said he wanted them to be released immediately, you know, claiming that there was no reason for them to mm-hmm. have been arrested.
There's a huge response in the community, right?
Yes.
In Cicero and Little Village. Talk to us about what we saw afterwards.
Right. So as soon as, you know, neighbors were spotting ICE activity in their neighborhood, they kind of rang the alarm. And a lot of, you know, a lot of people just started coming out, trying to locate where they were heading to help protect, you know, their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And that ultimately led to Cicero, where it kind of all just clashed together.
Was there protests?
Yes. They quickly gathered after the crash happened. Dozens of them were there, you know, just calling for agents to leave their town, you know, leave their neighborhoods and release the people who were detained.
Yeah, I saw lots of video on social media, that's for mm-hmm. sure. Stick with us here on In the Loop, folks, because in about 15 minutes, we're talking with residents and community leaders from Cicero and Little Village about what it felt like to have federal agents making arrests in their neighborhoods. And also we'll talk about what comes next for their communities. Good time, Claire, for us to remind folks listening as well, right? We've got federal agents on the streets. We've got ICE, Border Patrol, some FBI, depending on where you are. Still no National Guard, correct?
This is correct. A federal judge's order blocking the deployment of National Guard troops within the state will remain in effect. And this is now while attorneys wait for the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in. So U.S. District Judge April Perry temporarily blocked troops from being deployed here 2 weeks ago. That was set to expire today. Mm-hmm. And in a hearing yesterday afternoon, Justice Department lawyers affirmed that the order could remain in place until a lawsuit over troop deployment is fully decided in Perry's courtroom, right? Mm-hmm. So the Trump administration asking the Supreme Court essentially to undo that order, a ruling from the high court that sides with Trump, could allow the deployment immediately if that's what happens. An attorney for Illinois told the judge they would request an accelerated proceeding, and it is possible at this point that we could hear from the Supreme Court soon. Could be this week. We'll be waiting.
Yeah. This week, Tina, we heard, you know, ICE allegedly pulled a gun on a state rep. And yesterday, two aides to Alderman Michael Rodriguez were arrested, as Cindy just laid out, and detained during that Little Village incident. Both are U.S. citizens. We talked a couple of weeks ago about another alder, Jesse Fuentes, who is now, in her case, seeking compensation after being detained by ICE. You're a political reporter. What do you make of what's going on here?
What I see is that this is just deeply personal. I mean, we're a city of neighborhoods. These people are representing these communities. They are often part of their culture that are being under attack. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people standing up for their communities. I think we'll probably see more of this.
I feel like no one is exempt. That's another message
exempt.
That we're getting here, too.
You saw this in California. You saw this in New York. You saw, like, Senator Alex Padilla with ICE detaining him after he interrupted a press conference. You saw New York lawmakers outside immigration hearings. So I think this is Democrats across the nation trying to represent the communities that are under attack right now.
And it's not just our local politicians who are speaking up about immigration actions happening here, Tina. I understand there's a so-called shadow hearing that's happening tomorrow. What's that?
This is the fourth in a series. It's Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who's hosting it with several members of the Illinois delegation, Delia Ramirez, Chuy Garcia. Mm-hmm. So it's basically going to be this. It's a shadow hearing because it's not an official hearing. It's Democrats showing the impact of these raids. And there will be some experts. The pastor, David Black, is supposed to be there. He is the pastor that our Ashley Rezin photo editor did this kind of horrifying picture photo series of him being shot with a pepper ball, kneeling down, and then being pepper sprayed. So he's going to talk about his experience and many others. So this is just a way for Democrats to kind of give that exposure to what's going on the ground here.
Now, sticking with you for another moment here, Tina, Gangster Disciples co-founder Larry Hoover, he's asking Governor Pritzker to commute his life sentence. We should be clear, Hoover is 74 at this point. He's been in prison for a long time, over, what, 50 years?
Over 50 years. With about 30 years in isolation.
With about 30 years in isolation. The guy's got health issues. What more can you tell us about Hoover and this petition that he's making to Pritzker?
This is just the first official step to try to get freedom. He has to go through the Illinois Prisoner Review Board. This is through, you know, Governor J.B. Pritzker would have to decide this. He has said that they would follow the process. This is, and President Trump commuted his federal sentence in May. So this is the second state charge. This is a 1973 charge. Mm. So attorneys for Larry Hoover say he's had several heart attacks since he left that federal supermax prison. Nearly 28 years in isolation and then going to, it's still a maximum security.
Yeah.
Colorado prison, but it's still, he's working in the kitchen. They said he's stacking things. It's like kind of physically, he's not able to do things. They say he's a C number inmate. Those are inmates.
What does that mean?
That's inmates that were given these crazy longer than life sentences, which does not happen anymore. That's prior to 1978. So there's a group of old inmates that were given this more than life sentence. And so the argument is that we don't do this anymore. So why is this guy doing this? But of course, he did some things, and he has a federal sentence. He has a state sentence. So he has, you know, said he's not associated with the Gangster Disciples anymore, that he's remorseful, that he's accepted responsibility. Yeah. So they're going to have to weigh all of that.
It still sounds like they've got to jump through a lot of hoops here. So, I mean, what do you think is the likelihood that this will happen, Tina?
I cannot say. I think it's up to the board. Obviously, this sounds political because Trump had this federal commutation through Kanye West, apparently, telling him about Larry Hoover and others. Chance the Rapper is one of the supporters on this petition. But hopefully there is just a real process in which these board members will look at this case.
Yeah. Other stories that you're watching, Claire?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of, as Tina mentioned, Democrats using whatever power that they can wield to try to, you know, hold immigration enforcement accountable. We're seeing this with the Secretary of State, Alexi Janulius, here in Illinois, creating a tip line now to collect information about potential violations by federal immigration agents. This is involving license plates on government vehicles, right? Because his office can control that. Officers have been seen driving on public streets with one or both Illinois license plates. Individual license plates were seen on multiple vehicles, things like that. So the Secretary of State said penalties can include fines, potential jail time for this, if they can enforce that. And the tip line is also available via email, platewatch@ilsos.gov. So just a kind of an interesting anecdote there.
Mm. Tina, we're in day 23 of the federal government shutdown. And yesterday on In the Loop, I talked to a couple of federal employees here in Illinois who are, it's clear to say, going through it, right? I talked to an air traffic controller, as well as a woman who works for the Social Security Administration. Morale is down. Paychecks are being missed at this point. You must know, Tina, right. When is this going to end?
I just consulted my magic ball this morning.
Yes, and, I got to get an, give me a date.
It said, I have no clue. There's no movement at all.
Yeah, I mean, because we're at the start of week 4 at this point.
Right. So Speaker Johnson has been saying that he has a plan for this health care subsidy situation that the Democrats are upset about. But he keeps saying, like, let's come back to work and then we'll do this. And of course, Democrats don't trust that he's going to do that. Meanwhile, as you said, air traffic controllers, they had one partial paycheck and they will miss a paycheck soon, the end of October. So we know that from the last shutdown, that was the major pressure point. So you're going to see more air traffic controllers who are unable to come to work, probably childcare, whatever, money issues. It is hard.
We talked yesterday about just simply being able to put gas in the car.
That is a pressure point. And also SNAP, I feel like, is going to be a pressure point, the food assistance program. There's about 25 states that say that they'll be cut off from that in November 1st. But several other states came forward last week saying it's already affecting them now. So you're going to see people unable to get food assistance, which will be devastating to many states.
Yeah. And before we wrap, Cindy, let's go back to where we started here, right? After yesterday's immigration arrests and residents and community leaders in Little Village getting together, they're also putting out an ask for Mayor Johnson to do more. Especially when it comes to establishing those ice-free zones that he just recently created an executive order for.
Right. So Mayor Johnson signed an executive order to prohibit federal immigration agents from using city property to stage for raids. But Little Village residents saw them over the weekend staging in the parking lot of a water department building. And, you know, they were outraged. They said they saw them kind of gearing up, putting on their vest before jumping back in their cars to carry out the raids. So they're calling on the mayor to enforce the executive order. They're calling on him to put up signage on city property, you know, saying, you know, that ICE and CBP can't use these parking lots for staging. But city officials are saying that might be harder than it seems to do because of the cost. So they say that they're prioritizing city-owned property, you know, around schools, things like that for now. And we'll eventually get to the rest of the properties.
This episode of In the Loop was produced by me, Dan Tucker, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in-the-loop. And thanks for listening.